Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com Senior Editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. I am Vic Ketchman, and tonight, to lead off the first segment of the show, I have as our guest John Clayton of ESPN. But before I bring John on, I'd like to segue into that a little bit and tell you that it was about this time, exactly this time a year ago, when everybody was trumpeting the Jaguars for the Super Bowl. They were building this team up as the team to beat in the AFC, and you know we were our heads were in the clouds here. We thought this team was headed for the big game, or certainly headed for a good season. And I got a call in the evening from my friend John Clayton. And of course, we were talking about what our expectations were for the season. And I asked John, of course, what he thought the Jaguars would be in 2008. And I got I don't like what I see. He was the only one who expressed to me or expressed to anyone, the only person I had read of the experts, so to speak, that didn't see all of the greatness that was being predicted by all of the others. So I thought to myself the other day as I was thinking about who I might bring on as a guest to lead off the show, I thought to myself, you know, John Clayton would be the perfect guy because he's the guy who called it right last year, so why not bring him on and ask him what he sees this year? So, John, are you there?
I am right here. Hopefully I don't bring too many clouds into this day.
John is in Seattle, Washington, which is just, this time of year, it's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, it really is, because, I mean, we've had an unbelievable summer. Actually, it's been hotter normally, because normal temperatures are like 76, and by about 10 o'clock it all clears off. But, I mean, the weather overall, this has probably been one of the best summers I can ever remember since moving here in 86.
Great. So go ahead. Tell us, this is the theme of this show tonight is great expectations, or maybe not so great expectations. Anyhow, between now and the end of this show, 7 o'clock, we're gonna figure it out. You know, we'll let you have your say in the beginning, and then I'll let the fans have their say, and I'll sprinkle in my say in between. But I'll start with you. What do you see this year for the Jaguars?
Well, what I see is this is the kind of a turnaround year as far as at least taking that step forward to build things back. But the problem is, and I think this is going to be very much the same with the New York Jets, that type of turnaround may not necessarily translate into wins. It can maybe translate into how the team plays, how the team looks, the encouragement for the future. But the problem that I see, particularly too with the changes that are starting on defense and also too the changes on offense, that this now probably looks to be a fourth place team in the division, depending on what happens to Houston. Because, you know, this is Houston's year, just like it was Jacksonville's year a couple years ago, where it's make or break for them. You know, they either win 9 games this year and the coach gets applauded, or make the playoffs this year. And if they don't, then bad things will probably happen in Houston. Just like in Jacksonville a couple years ago, they had the success of making the playoffs, and then, of course, things started to catch up to them. So this is the year where it's like, okay, start to build a little bit toward the 2010 season, which I think there's definitely great progress. But as far as the expectations, as far as wins, I don't necessarily see it in 2009.
Okay, last year you didn't like the signing of Jerry Porter or Drayton Florence, correct?
That was correct.
I don't think you were crazy about the what the Jaguars did in the draft, trading away all those picks, right?
I was definitely not on board there because I just thought too many were given up for the return.
Okay, now tell me what you like or don't like about what they've done this year in the offseason as far as personnel is concerned.
Yeah, I really like this draft class. That's what I think I like the best. I think that, you know, the fact that they've gone out and started to build on the offense and defensive line, certainly it's going to take a little bit of time for both Britton and Monroe to take charge. Who knows when they'll be able to start, but you can see that once they get in, it's going to start to solidify some things on the offensive line. I also love what I see out of Terrence Knighton. I think that he looks to be really good.
What do you see?
I just see a big, tall guy that starts to rejuvenate an aging part of the defense. You know, because that's obviously been aging for some time. And I was just looking at some numbers here on my goofy database stuff that I do, and I was noticing still, with the current starting lineup on defense, this is the fourth oldest defense in the league as far as starters.
I didn't know that.
That's a little scary when you start to think about, you know, that the average age of the starter still is in that rebuilding. But when you start to bring quality players in, and I think that both in Knighton and the two tackles and the quality, I think as far as the people that they bring in the draft, this is now starting to build the basis for what's going to be some good things for the future. Now, again, problem still comes down. Older defense, it starts to slip. You know, injuries start to become a problem because guys don't heal up as well. They don't come back on the field as quick. Depth's going to be a little bit of a problem. But then you translate that into what's going on offense with the complete overhaul of the wide receiving crew and, you know, certainly now a little bit of shortening of the field at running back. You know, are there going to be enough points to compensate for what's going to be the transition on defense? Because say what you want. I mean, they say, and I know we go back in Pittsburgh in the 70s, and everything was won on defense. Well, that's not the case in 2009 football. You can get there, and you can make the playoffs on defense, but if you can't score points on offense, particularly in the 2-4 minute area, you know, you're not going to go very far. So I just think that, you know, there's still more work to be done as far as getting the playmakers on offense. That's why the wins may not necessarily come this year, but the foundation, as I think, is starting to be built, because next year, or even, of course, through this year, they can still look to upgrade some spots as far as playmakers on offense.
One of the prime stories, maybe the prime story, the top news story, sports story in Jacksonville this fall is, as far as the Jaguars are concerned, is the blackouts, the looming blackouts. This team is looking at probably an entire season of TV blackouts. How prominent is the Jacksonville blackout situation, is the ticket sales situation in the national media?
Well, probably quietly is among the biggest worries, because, you know, there's about 12 cities right now that could be very affected by blackouts, and obviously Jacksonville leading the charge right now. And that's concerning, particularly, too, because if there's going to be 8 home games that are not going to be, or 7 home games or 6 home games on a team that may not have a winning record, then all of a sudden football becomes out of sight, out of mind. And that's the scary part, because you still want the regularity of seeing football every week.
Okay. We're going to go to a short break. After we come back from the break, I want to get your bent on the AFC South and then the whole league. So just stick with us, folks. I have John Clayton, and we'll be back in, 90 seconds, Joe? 20 seconds?
No, 2 minutes.
Two full minutes.
Yeah, not long at all.
Take us into the break.
Hey, fans, Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. You can save on things like Jags gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a whole bunch more. Visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. For more, Vic Ketchman and his guest John Clayton. Keep it right here. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Ticket to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for details. You log on right here. The Jaguars Monday. Here's Vic Ketchman.
Let's continue our conversation with John Clayton of ESPN. John, we have you for another 5 minutes, and I'd like to ask you your thoughts, first of all, on the AFC South.
I think Indy's going to go back up to the top. Again, they may not be the 12-win team because certainly they're a little thinner at the wide receiver position. I think they're a little deeper on defense, even though I don't think Bob Sanders is going to play much in the first 6 weeks of the season, but I think they have better depth to handle some of the injuries. So not a great team, but a team that probably can win about 11.
So you're seeing who's your second place team then? Tennessee or Houston?
Second place is going to be Tennessee, I think. Now again, are they going to win 13? No, they're probably going to drop about three. But you know, it all comes down to how Kerry Collins can hold up. If he can hold up, they can probably, with their defense, which won't be as strong without Albert Haynesworth, sneak out about 9 or 10 wins.
How about the East, North, and West in the AFC? Who do you like?
Overall, I mean, I still think in the East, what you can see is it's still the Patriots, but boy, they got the scare of the lifetime with Tom Brady with that shoulder, because if he landed a certain way, that could have been the rotator cuff, and that would have been their season. But I think you'll see a three-game drop from the Dolphins. I think the Jets, very much like the Jaguars, not going to be a scoring machine. They could drop to the bottom of the division, where I think Buffalo, that's the more intriguing team as far as where they are, because I don't know if that no huddle is going to work. I thought they were going to go 9. I've taken them down to 7. West is San Diego all the way. The three teams in that bottom of the division of the AFC West is just brutal.
Yeah.
And North, it's still Pittsburgh over Baltimore, with Cincinnati probably making a four-game improvement.
You know, the last year, the two jump-up teams were Miami and Atlanta. And the Atlanta jump-up, I believe, is real. I really like what I see there with the Falcons. I think Mike Smith has fallen into a wonderful situation, especially with that quarterback. But in my opinion, the disappointment team this year is going to be Miami. And it's not just because I think they may have been a little bit of a snowman last year. When I look at their schedule, as weak as their schedule was last year, this year's schedule is as difficult or even more difficult. They just have a brutal schedule.
Yeah, and see, the reason, you know, and that they go from one of the easier schedules to the toughest schedule in the league, and anybody that's gone worst to first usually falls down three games. But the only way that you can avoid doing that is if you have a quarterback. Well, guess what team passed up on the quarterback? Miami Dolphins. They took Jake Long instead of Matt Ryan, and so even though the Falcons have a tougher schedule, this quarterback's so good, there's not going to be the bigger drop-off. And so now what you'll see is Atlanta will stay in there most years and be a contender, where there's going to be more of an up-and-down cycle for the Dolphins. I mean, in retrospect, I think that fans will eventually say, why, Bill Parcells, did you pass up on Matt Ryan?
Now, I will tell you this. I like what I see in Chad Henne. I think, though, this year is going to end up being Chad Henne's coming out year. I think eventually they'll turn to him, and he'll be their guy. But I think this is going to be a white flag year for the Dolphins. Dolphin fans who are expecting a step up from last year, I think that's unrealistic.
Yeah, because when you think about the Wildcat, and they had 90 plays that averaged about 5.5 yards a play, well, guess what? Teams, particularly the Ravens, have figured out how to stop their Wildcat, and so now all of a sudden that surprise factor is gone, and now it's going to be how long can they hold on with Chad Pennington. If Pennington gets hurt, you know, that 8-win possibility could drop to 7 or 6 with that schedule.
Philadelphia was my team in the NFC until I saw them last Thursday. I really didn't like what I saw. I think the Michael Vick situation, I think the Michael Vick thing is going to hurt them. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't think it's going to help them, because I think that it really takes away from Donovan McNabb. I mean, I think that the damage is not going to be as bad, but I think the impact is not going to be as good. I think that it still comes down to how can they win without Jim Johnson on defense, and can their offensive line be healthy enough to protect Donovan McNabb? That's the key to their season, because I think the injuries they've had, I thought they were going to be over the Giants. Right now, I don't think they will be.
Mm-hmm. They were chanting last week, John, in Philadelphia. They were chanting in the second half, "We want Vic." Now, how can that be good for your starting quarterback psyche?
No, it can't. And you can see that he went over to Marty Morningwig and kind of gave him the cutoff sign after about 5 or 6 plays, because he could not get into a rhythm, knowing that he's probably not going to play this fourth preseason game and wants to go into the season against Carolina with some momentum now that he doesn't have.
Give me your favorite team in the NFC, and I'll let you go.
Right now, I mean, I think regular season, you look at Minnesota, because I know that the Favre move was controversial, but Favre still can take a talented team that's deeper at receiver than you would think, really got a good tight end and a very good defense. I mean, that team's loaded right now for 11 wins, but still in the playoffs, it may be one of those teams in the NFC East. I think right now the Giants have a great chance. That's a good football team.
Well, I thank you very much for coming on the show, and I'll tell you, since you certainly can't hear our signal out in Seattle, Washington, that when you hang up, I will be disagreeing with you on Minnesota, but what the heck, we've disagreed before.
That's okay. We disagree so many times during the year, but we love disagreeing.
Thanks, John.
Stay sunny with that smile.
I wish you hadn't heard that. It's embarrassing. Bye-bye.
Okay.
John Clayton from ESPN, and you want to take a break, Joe?
No.
You don't. Then what are the hand signals for? I mean, do you understand? That's hieroglyphics to me. Just speak.
I'm sorry. No. Keep it for a couple more minutes.
What did
you think of John's AFC prognostications?
You know, I'm fine. He's on the mark. Certainly San Diego in the West. The West is just a horrible division with one good team in it, one really good team that could go all the way. I'm thinking more and more they might be my pick in the AFC because I'm starting to get danger signals out of New England, although New England is still probably still my leader. But Pittsburgh, I'm not sure what that was last year other than to say just fantastic football played by a team that had a horrible offensive line and a quarterback who had a magic wand. I got to think on those three teams, San Diego, Pittsburgh, and the Patriots. In the NFC, that's where I'm lost right now because Philadelphia was my team. Minnesota is absolutely not my team, and it's all because the Brett Favre thing is just it's laughable. It's comical that you would think you're going to get stronger because you've signed an old man with a torn rotator cuff. It makes no sense. It spits in the face of logic. So I'm not going with Minnesota. But Philadelphia was my team. But after what I saw Thursday, I was really taken aback by that situation. I think they've got a real problem on their hands.
Don't you think Green Bay can be a real sleeper?
Green Bay is one of the ones that I'm thinking on now. With Aaron Rodgers, appears to be a gritty guy. He looks like somebody who wants to play against Brett Favre. He looks like a guy who wants to show the world and show the cheeseheads that the Packers made the right move. And I'm sure they did. I'm absolutely certain they did. In fact, I'll go back to that infamous game. The preseason game that the Jaguars played in Green Bay in 2007, the one that ended up costing Byron Leftwich not only his job but a place on the Jaguars roster, caused him to be cut. I can remember writing in my blog when Rodgers came in and moved him right down the field. I can remember writing that my opinion that this is the guy. They should make the move. That Rodgers is, it's time to get young. You know, it's always time to get young, but it's never more of a time to get young than when you're old. And when your quarterback is old, your team is old. You're only as young as your quarterback is. That's why Indianapolis can throw out all those numbers they want about the youngest team when it comes to average age, blah, 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 blah. That's all bottom of the roster stuff. All right. The bottom line is that you're only as young as your quarterback is, and teams like the Colts now who have a quarterback in his 30s are not young. And with that, I will take us into a break, right? Mm-hmm. Or do you said a couple minutes.
Yeah.
You want to take it to the bottom of the hour?
Let's take it to the bottom of the hour.
Absolutely.
How about this? Something that John said really surprised me. You talked about Jaguars and ticket sales. He said they're one of 12 teams that are in trouble.
Yeah, there are some. The prominent ones are Jacksonville, Kansas City, Oakland, and San Diego. Those are the ones that are really struggling. And in each case, not each case, but in a couple of those cases, there are danger signals. Certainly San Diego, with Los Angeles being a few miles up the road. And with Oakland having already spent time in Los Angeles. I mean, there are real storm clouds on the horizon there. The Jaguars situation, I don't think it's as immediate as those other ones are. But the real problem here isn't just blacking out the games. You know, the crowd Thursday night is likely to set another all-time low record. That's where the real danger is. If this becomes a hideous situation, if this becomes a situation where it's 35,000 and then 32,000, mm-hmm. and you know, then you run into this problem, folks. Imagine it's mid-season or late in the season, and the Jaguars are playing a team that is in the playoff hunt, and the studio guy for the network says, now let's go to Jacksonville where so-and-so has thrown a touchdown pass. Not only will they show that touchdown pass, but if your stands are empty, their cameras will take a tour of those empty seats, and they will show that for the world to see, so to speak. And that's where it gets really bad. It's not just about blackouts. Blackouts become a statistic. But empty seats, blocks and blocks, expansive areas of empty seats become a terrible humiliation.
You become the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, you become a lot of situations. And that's what I'm worried about here because, I'm going to get back to this expectations thing because I saw some things Thursday night I really, really like and I'm starting to recalculate, revisit my thoughts on this team. But this is still a rebuilding year, and I worry because if it gets laborious and if those stands get really empty, the TV cameras will go there, and it could really, really hurt the image of professional football in Jacksonville. With that, we'll go to a break, and when I come back, I'll give you my views on this season.
Good deal. Yeah, we give Sam, Jeff, and Tiffany enough time to get the news together at WOKV. I want to remind you, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, more. Stop by Gate today. Keep it right here at News Talk Radio, WOKV. All right, gang, welcome back to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday brought to you by the Best Buy in the new St. John's Town Center. Make sure you stop by Best Buy. You want to talk to Vic? Easy to do. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. If you're outside the Jacksonville calling area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Couldn't make it any easier, Victor.
No, the lines are open. Feel free to call. Love to have your call. And we can talk about anything. This is a great expectations or maybe not so great expectations show. That's the theme tonight. Of course, the team is a few days away, 3 days out from its preseason finale against the Washington Redskins here at the Jack. And they are, some days removed now from the game in Philadelphia last Thursday. And I want to tell you, I saw something in Philadelphia that I liked. I didn't really see much in Miami that did much for me, and I sure didn't see much against Tampa that lit my fire. But I saw something in Philadelphia, and what I saw was a team that looked like it matched up. I saw players that looked like they could go head-to-head against Philadelphia, which I think is the team in the NFC as far as roster is concerned and as far as talent is concerned. They're loaded. The Eagles are loaded. I don't know what they need. I don't know what they don't have. They've got a veteran quarterback, Donovan McNabb, who is probably better than people think or people have are willing to credit him for being. They got a sensational kicker, clutch kicker. They've got a big time defense now with young defensive linemen coming into their prime, guys like Trent Cole and Patterson. They've got a world-class cornerback in Asante Samuel. I love their two running backs, and that includes Brian Westbrook and the rookie LeSean McCoy. They've got a big-time receiving core. They got it all. They've got it all, and the Jaguars pushed them. The Eagles were an embarrassed football team, the one that was losing to the Jaguars 27-13, I believe, in the third quarter. It was an embarrassed football team. And I saw something that night. Forget about the final score. Forget about all that baloney at the end with the interception and the kicks, and that's all for the bottom of the roster guys. What the game was when it was 27-13 is what the game was worth. And I saw something that night, and I'm starting to consider the possibility that even as the Jaguars rebuild, they might have some success. They might put together a season here that gives us some entertainment deep into the year. That's what I want. If I could turn some kind of a switch on that says, come December, this team will be in the race, will be a contender, that's good enough for me. I don't have to have a playoff berth. Just if somehow we can get into December and this team is still alive, so I can write if the Jaguars win and this team loses, and that's what I'm looking for. And with that, I'll go to the phone lines. Joe, let's bring somebody up who wants to tell us what they think. Let's start with Doug on let's start with Paul on the defense. Hi, Paul.
What's up? I just wanted to tell you I was real impressed with that heads up football. I thought Wahoo was fantastic. I thought they played smart football. I think that was really important to show. People were standing around staring as to what to do, and it's not always the power in the muscles, the brains that win football games.
Well, who did you think was fantastic?
Wahoo.
Who's Wahoo?
The defensive player that picked up the ball.
Ewu.
Brian Ewu.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's nice. That's nice. But see, that's not what turned me on. Running 92 yards with a football that shouldn't be on the ground because Andy Reid is nuts. Why you would throw a football 20 yards sideways when you only have to go 1 yard forward, I'll never understand that. And that's what the Eagles have going against them. That the coach there has really ruined that football team. And this latest brainstorm of his with Michael Vick, if I was an Eagles fan, would really chafe me, to say the least. But what I saw, Paul, on defense was a team, as I said, that looked like it matched up. It looked like they could cover. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but Rasheem Mathis has had, quote unquote, a Pro Bowl preseason. He has been fantastic. I mean, he looks like one of the premier corners in the game. And I think that's giving Jack Del Rio and Mel Tucker the confidence to know that they can do some things up front, that they can take gambles, take risks up front with the pass rush because they've got a premier player in the back. How about?
Yeah, I just think they played some smart football, and that's unlike Jaguars. I think they changed some of their tactics and started to teach these whatever they called it, scoop and run or.
That's not scoop and run. You pick it up. It's on the ground. It's just sitting there. All you got to do is pick it up. I don't know why you were so impressed with that play. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Leopold at the beach. He wants to talk about Mike Walker, who is now Mike Sims Walker.
Hey, Vic Catchman, how you doing today?
Good, Leopold. How are you?
I'm doing all right, sir. I want to talk about Mr. Sims Walker today.
Sure.
I want to know... I read in the paper that he's back at practice today. I want to know, what would it take for him to make the team this year as him playing the Thursday game? Because I know he's going to play this week.
Well, he returned to practice on Sunday, and David Garrard today, Mike Thomas, the fourth-round pick from Arizona, wide receiver, returned to practice on Sunday, too. And David Garrard praised both Mike Sims Walker and Mike Thomas for their play in Sunday's practice, especially praising Mike Sims Walker. David Garrard has a fondness, he has an affection for throwing the football to Mike Sims Walker, and he explained that Mike, I'm just going to call him Mike here, is good at making quarterbacks feel comfortable in where he will be and how he will run his route. He has a gift for somehow telepathically communicating with his quarterback on where to throw the ball and when to throw it. So what's it going to take for Mike to make the team? If he can just stay on his feet Thursday night, if he can play and not get injured, he'll make the team. Is that good?
I asked that because I'm a message board reader, Jaguars.com, and everything else. I'm just sick of this fan base really down on this guy, which what they don't understand is this guy is the most complete receiver we have on this team.
He's got to stay healthy, though, Leopold. He's got to stay healthy. See, that's what you're reading. I think you're reading people who are showing their frustration at the fact that Mike has these recurring injuries that snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Just when it looks like he's about to blossom, then comes an injury and, you know, everything gets kind of washed away. And now I think that's what you're detecting. There's no one who's rooting against this guy. Everyone knows what a really good guy Mike Sims Walker is. And this latest thing with changing his name is all meant to honor his deceased father. It's the kind of stuff I like and everybody likes, and I think everybody wants Mike to have a lot of success here. It's time to go for our next break, Joe.
You got it, Victor. You ready?
Do it.
All right. Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. Vic Ketchman will be back. Keep it right here at News Talk Radio, WOKV.
To talk to Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars Monday on your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, and now a guy whose gate is rivaled only by people like, oh, Secretariat.
Oh, stop it.
Vic Ketchman.
Hey, let's go right away to Doug at the beach. Doug, good evening.
Vic, how you doing?
Great. How about you?
Very good. Definitely fired up for the season.
Good. Me too.
Know, first of all, I'm a season ticket holder, and I want to preface my comment first with the fact that I don't begrudge anybody who faces financial decisions in which the family budget doesn't allow for season tickets.
Absolutely.
And I certainly understand those people's situations. However, there are folks in Jacksonville that do have the means to attend the games and choose not to. And while I'm dismayed about the ticket situation currently, I actually kind of welcome the blackouts, because my hope is that it changes behaviors of some of our fans here, in that if they don't get the games on their couch, that's going to change behavior. Start buying tickets. You know, I've always been an optimist about this team, born and raised in Jacksonville. I'm still surprised that we got a franchise to begin with. And maybe I'm being too much of a Pollyanna kind of guy, but maybe the blackouts will actually improve the situation. We have 1 year of just an absolute low point, and we see things turn around as this team emerges from the ash heap of 2008, and we're getting better on the field, but getting better as a ticket-buying fan base.
How many years have you heard people say they should put the games on TV for promotional purposes, for the exposure, right?
Way too much in my mind, because you got to not have a pulse,
okay,
to know that there's a team in
there. And has it worked?
No, absolutely not, because I've heard you say it, that this city grew up watching NFL football on the couch, and we were fortunate enough to win so early that got folks into the stadium, and it continued that behavior.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get at here is that for years and years, I believe a mistake has been made, and it's been made right in this building. I think the franchise has made a terrible error for years and years, and it was done several times last year, of giving in and televising a game that really that did not deserve to be televised. Giving the game out of the goodness of the franchise's heart, out of the goodness of Wayne Weaver's heart, he would reach in his pocket and pick up the tab for the remaining tickets so that the game would be shown to the local fans, with the idea that they would feel such gratitude in their heart that they would then turn around and buy a ticket. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah, well,
when you give it for free, people come to expect to get it for free, and now that's going to change this year. Now, I'm going to, you know, you've set me up here, Doug, so I'm going to go off a little bit. You've heard the old expression, perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The perception of this town when I came here in 1995, when this team was given this franchise, the national perception was that Jacksonville was a great football town. Do you think that is the perception today?
Absolutely not. We've been exposed a little bit, and unfortunately, we're going to have to feel the pain. I do believe strongly, though, about this upcoming generation of Jaguar fans, kids that grew up with this team, that's going to re-energize this team. In my mind, we're still stuck somewhat in the college mentality a little bit, and with the Florida Gators and the like, and we've been exposed. So no.
I don't understand why it has to be one or the other. That's the one I don't get. I don't understand why you can't like both.
Well, Vic, being born and raised here in Jacksonville, this was a very big stronghold for the Gators. And when the Gators struggled,
so what? I mean, it's a big stronghold in Chicago for Notre Dame. It's a big stronghold in Philadelphia for Penn State.
Hey, I can't explain it, because I can watch both games. I'm just telling you, from a lot of the Gator fans that I know, and I'm not painting the whole fan base. with one broad brush. But I'm just saying the fact that the Gators got good in the 90s and now winning national championships, it's just made them that much more loyal, almost to a fault.
Well, I think that's overrated. I read a story today that said that 76% of all adults in Jacksonville consider themselves to be Jaguars fans, which I believe said was the fourth highest percentage of any city in the league. Okay? So I've never bought into the TV ratings do not support what you're saying. The TV ratings say Jaguars. All of the statistics except attendance say Jaguars. And with that, I'm going to say thanks, Doug. And I want to get another caller in before we end up not giving enough time to speak his piece. And he is Ed from St. Augustine, who wants to talk about Reggie Nelson. Good evening, Ed.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Great. How about you?
Good. I'm learning how to trust my eyes like you told us.
Sure.
And I'm not seeing much out of Reggie Nelson. Can you address that?
I haven't seen much myself. I'm lost for words on this. Let me put it this way, and this is what I said in the pregame radio show Thursday. The safety position, especially the free safety position, has become a premier position in this league. It used to be that it was the last line of defense. It used to be you found somebody with instincts for playing center field, so to speak, who knew where to be to prevent the big run or the big pass. Now it's become an attack position. Look at the names. Listen to the names of the people who play this position in the league. Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, Bob Sanders, and a lot more. Big-time premier players in the league. Guys who are household names. Who doesn't know the name Ed Reed? Who doesn't know the name Troy Polamalu, the flowing hair? Who doesn't know Bob Sanders, you know, the 5'8" guy who plays like he's 6'4" and knocks everybody out of their shoes? You know, that's what the safety position has become. It's become an attack position. It's become a player who blitzes, who plays the box, who plays deep, who makes interceptions and returns them for touchdowns, as Polamalu did against the Ravens in the AFC title game. Makes big plays. But I'm not seeing that kind of aggressiveness out of the Jaguars' free safeties. And I think it's one of the negatives of this training camp and this preseason. That position has not matured. That position has not uncovered a fixture, a guy on whom you can put your finger and say, he's the man. And it needs to happen, because that is no longer just a throwaway position. That is now a premier position. That's a ball-hawking, playmaking position in the league, Ed.
Second quick question. I can't get a good read on Eben Britton. How's he progressing?
Really coming along. This is what I'm being told. I have gotten it from a couple good sources this afternoon. And I'm going to – they'll speak for themselves, but I just trust me when I tell you these are good sources. And they gave me the thumbs up on Eben Britton. This guy is on the rise. He's coming. I mean, this is the guy who truly is going to be the future for this team at right tackle. Anything else, Ed?
That's it, Vic. Thank you.
Now I'm going to thank you for joining me this evening. I'm going to thank everybody for joining me this evening. And ask you to please join me next Monday on Jaguars Monday.
And don't forget, Vic will be back Wednesday night for Jaguars This Week. And Brian Sexton has the coach in tomorrow night right here on News Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. Brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.